world-class meeting experiences, and we are always pleased to bring on John Leonidakis on the program. John, how are you today?
Great, David. It's wonderful to be back with you again.
It is wonderful to have you on the program. Well, your thoughts on the World Series and how it ended up. We had two Game 7s 2 years in a row, and it was 3 years ago that we had a gentleman on, Ben Ryder, last Friday, and Ben was the one that predicted for Sports Illustrated on the cover that the Astros were going to win the World Series. He was on last week. He was fabulous. It's just a great story. It's great how they put this team together, how they put, you know, the Dodgers together, too. Somebody had to lose that game, but your thoughts on the Astros getting it done for the first time in their existence?
Well, it was, first of all, it was not only was it a fantastic World Series, it was a historic World Series.
Yeah.
More home runs were hit in this World Series, I believe it was 25, than in any World Series before. 2016 World Series was a tough act to follow, but this made an excellent case. Just Game 5 alone, Mad Dog. The Astros erased three deficits in 10 innings, overcame two three-run leads. The Dodgers had a four-run lead with Kershaw, and he couldn't get it done. But and how about this guy, Derek Fisher? He was a guy who came in and ran. He ran at almost 30 miles an hour from second to home to get the final game-winning tally at home plate. 5 hours and 17 minutes, an epic masterpiece of baseball. And we're going to see this Astros club be a force for the next few years, no question.
John Leonidakis with us. John, I'd like you to tell the audience some of the wonderful things that you've done in your professional career, films, themed entertainment with baseball, Cooperstown, Disney, just great stuff. Go ahead.
Well, thank you, David. I'm very proud of a number of projects. One of them was being one of the producers of a fantastic music documentary called The Wrecking Crew, which people can watch on Netflix. I've produced some attractions for the Walt Disney Company. Specifically, there's one in Walt Disney World in Tomorrowland, and it's called the Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor. It's been playing for over 10 years now. And, of course, my first love, baseball. I've got six films in the permanent archive of the Hall of Fame. I love them all. The first one being Not Exactly Cooperstown, which is about the baseball reliquary, kind of a left coast version of the Hall of Fame. The second being The Day the World Series Stopped. I happened to go to that game, 1989 World Series Game 3, and I brought a video camera along just to document my first World Series game. Of course, took a big left turn with the earthquake there. And then, of course, Haino, A Century in the Bleachers, which is about the great sports writer Arnold Haino, who wrote the iconic baseball book, A Day in the Bleachers. And Arnold, of course, is a tremendous social activist. And I should say that all of those titles are available online. And but that's just a sampling. I've been very lucky in the 30 years I've been in my business to work on some wonderful projects.
Well, you've done a great job, and you've piqued a lot of people's interest around the world. John Leonidakis with us. John, a gentleman by the name, great sports writer, and a close friend, Chris Solari from the Free Press, usually does Fridays with me unless he's traveling to cover Michigan State athletics. He's from Butler, PA, and he is a big baseball purist, too. Go ahead.
Yeah, but I got to ask you that I'm looking at the bio. And the thing that jumps out right away to me, Berry Gordy's son, Rockwell, you worked on his Somebody's Watching Me video.
That was a long time ago. That's right.
I mean,
I actually appear in that video. I'm sort of a visual metaphor. He sort of sees me through a doorway, and they put this sort of leper makeup on with some spirit gum, and they put a light under me. It was pretty funny.
That's fantastic. I mean, that's the one song that everybody thinks it's Michael Jackson because he sings the hook, but I mean, you didn't. I don't think Michael Jackson showed up in that video, right? He was uncredited.
No, he didn't, and it was a big secret. You know, will he come to the shoot? Will he appear on camera? And of course, at the last minute, no, he's not coming, because that was right around the time he was doing Thriller, I think. But he was a nice young man, that young fellow Rockwell, and that was a crazy video. We had, like, you know, pigs with masks on and dogs with heads the size of TVs. Real, you know, music video stuff from back in the day.
He's a Detroit kid, too, so not too far away. And I've been to the Motown Museum down in Detroit, so it's pretty amazing, you know, to see what Barry did with Motown Records and everything. But I guess from you, I mean, I want to know about what you know about Detroit baseball, because there's such a rich history in Detroit with, you know, the corner of Michigan and Trumbull and everything that's gone on over the decades there. I guess, what's your experience with Detroit baseball?
Well, I've always loved the Detroit Tigers. As a kid growing up in the 60s, I remember their World Series appearance and beating the St. Louis Cardinals. I love the teams with Al Kaline and Mickey Lolich and Denny McClain, of course, 1968, the year of the pitcher, Willie Horton. I've just always had a sweet spot for Detroit. I love cars and the automotive culture, and that, of course, is where our cars are made. So I've always been a fan of the Detroit Tigers, and I've also been following the actions of the people who are trying to save Navin Field. I'm a friend of Tom Derry, who's done a marvelous job trying to preserve that real important history of the old Detroit ballpark.
John Leonidakis with us. And John, yeah, I've actually ran the bases there since they've tore that down, where Tiger Stadium, Navin Field, Bennett Field, where it's all been, and it's historic. I mean, I was lucky enough to see, you know, Kirk Gibson hit that home run against Gossage in 84 against the Padres. And, you know, now they're going to be more or less tearing that team down and starting up what the Astros did. And it's going to be interesting to see. They got some good baseball people there, but they're going to have to get players there. But, yeah, they have such a rich history going back to Ty Cobb. I mean, the Ty Cobb days, I mean, I've read so much. What interested you so much in baseball at an early age to your age now?
Well, my older brothers that really turned me on to baseball, they introduced me to baseball cards in 1964. And those Technicolor cardboard slabs, that was my passport to the game. I loved all those old heroes, and Koufax and Mays and Marichal and Al Kaline. They just it just captured my imagination, and I started playing as a youngster. And baseball was everything to me as a child, and it is today.
Go ahead,
yeah,
Chris.
You know, I know that the crossover in baseball and film, I mean, that goes all the way back probably to the Yankees. I mean, everything that you think about, the Babe Ruth story, the Jackie Robinson story, all these things, you know, in your professional life, they intersect with baseball quite a bit. But the game itself really kind of took flight with the advent of film. And, I mean, the newsreels before movies and everything. I guess kind of where I'm going with this is, you know, how much is that, like, built the mythology of baseball? And this kind of dovetails off what I think some of the network executives are saying about the NFL right now. Is there too much oversaturation that we're kind of getting maybe a little sports malaise at some point with how much we're able to see now?
Well, there's sort of two questions there, and I think the NFL is oversaturated. Adding that Thursday game was a big mistake. We don't need to see that much. I think the problem with the Thursday game is that the quality of play is poor because the players need time to rejuvenate from Sunday. So that's the problem there. I don't think baseball has always been a long season, a real grind, but I agree with you. I mean, first of all, radio brought the ball games into the homes. Then, of course, we had the film coverage of it, all those wonderful old films. Geez, they still have film of Babe Ruth being struck out by Jackie Mitchell, the 17-year-old girl for the Chattanooga Lookouts on April 2nd of 1931. Just to be able to put your finger on that stuff and capture those moments and see those heroes all the way back then through all of the players that we've known and loved through the 40s, 50s, and 60s on up today. The film, and then, of course, the advent of television, and of course, the owners were terrified of radio and television when they came along that it would hit the gate. But, of course, it's a huge promotion device, and it's really impacted me as a filmmaker. Even when I go out to shoot, and I'm shooting a game, and I've been shooting some stuff of some women's games over the last couple of years, they let me shoot on the field like the old-time photographers. Oh, they said, you're out there at your own risk, but I'm there about 5 feet away from the hitter and the umpires because I want to get, I believe, proximity makes for a much more dynamic experience for the viewer. And I haven't been hit yet, but I need to start wearing a cup and maybe a catcher's mask.
John Leonidakis with us. John, last question. You know, as I see here, next screening, 7 days, 22 hours, 53 minutes, 5 seconds now. Tell us what that is.
This is a live presentation of our television show, The Sweet Spot, which streams on Amazon and Roku and Vimeo on demand. And what's special about that, Mad Dog, is that Jim Mudcat Grant, mm-hmm. the first 20-game winner, first African-American to win 20 games in the American League, is going to be there. We're going to present Mudcat's episode where he talks about his experiences defeating racism in his career. We're going to show an episode about one of the last interviews that Jackie Robinson gave before he died, and the journalist who conducted that interview, Ron Rappaport from the L.A. Times, will be there. And then we'll have Matthew McGough, former bat boy for the New York Yankees in 1992 and 93. He's going to be there. We're going to have a trivia contest, and it's going to be a fantastic baseball event, and it's free. Anybody can attend. It's at the Pasadena Central Library here in the Los Angeles area.
Mudcat Grant, he had those big mutton chops. I remember.
He had a great story about the mutton chops. You know, that 1971 Topps card with the mutton chops.
I said,
hey, Mudcat, I remember you had kind of a beard and all that. He said, what happened? He said, my mom started shaving off my beard while I was sleeping, so I had to leave the mutton chops.
That's unbelievable. What about whatever happened to Vita Blue? Remember him? He's in San Francisco area, I think.
Oh, sure. I went to the San Francisco Giants fantasy camp a couple of years ago, and he actually pitched batting practice to me. And he is a character, and he's involved in the local media out there working with radio station KNBR as well as the Giants. A great guy, a funny guy, and a very smart guy, and a nice guy.
Well, listen, John, it's always a pleasure now. Second time, so third time's a charm. We appreciate you on the Mad Dog of the Afternoon program, Lansing and East Lansing. And just because baseball season ended two nights ago, it never ends. It's 12 months, 365 with me. So we'll look forward to speaking with you very, very soon.
And you can keep watching more baseball by coming and watching The Sweet Spot on Amazon.com. And, David, it's always a pleasure. I look forward to doing it again.
Okay, John. John Leonudikas on The Mad Dog Show. All right. Stone Cold Lock, 363-2273.